In Texas, they say energy is king. It may still be, but right now the crown belongs to West Texas landowners. They just won unexpectedly high awards, millions of dollars against Energy Transfer, a U.S. company contracted by Mexico to build a controversial natural gas pipeline. I'm Joey Palacios, and this is Fronteras, a public radio show about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. Mexico is paying for the pipeline that will carry Texas natural gas to Mexican power plants. And because the state says the pipeline is in the public interest, that gives the builder the power to seize private land here. Despite winning lucrative rewards for the pipeline being built on the property, the landowners really don't want it, and they're getting some huge help. A high-profile anti-pipeline campaign is underway, fueled by the power of Hollywood. The story from Marfa Public Radio's Fronteras reporter, Lauren Matalon.
There is unfinished business in the ranch lands of West Texas.
I received this $18,000 offer and was told I had a week to accept it.
That's Jeannie Simpson. Her family settled the Barreno Ranch near the border with Mexico in the 1880s.
That tree is 100 years old, at least.
In 2014, a company named Energy Transfer of Dallas announced that it would build a 143-mile pipeline from the oil and gas-rich Permian Basin of Texas to Mexico. Mexico's paying for the pipeline.
We are on the site of the pipeline route right now.
The route cuts through this windswept slice of the borderlands, through some of the last pristine legacy working ranches in the United States.
This is such rugged looking country, people don't realize how fragile it is.
The project was designated by state regulators as being in the public interest. The pipeline company won a $770 million contract. Local governments would earn millions in property taxes, and the state's natural gas producers would get a new market during a natural gas glut.
You're going to have big trucks hauling heavy pipe back and forth.
Because the project is classified as in the public interest, Energy Transfer has been granted the power of eminent domain, the power to take private land. Construction's begun, and so the focus now is on compensation. For landowners, that's critical because pipeline construction could damage a famously fragile ecosystem. Remember Jeannie Simpson's $18,000 offer?
And was told I had a week to accept it.
Well, Simpson and five other landowners weren't happy with the company's offers, so the company took the landowners before a special commission. The case was heard in early June in the West Texas town of Marfa. In the ruling, six landowners awarded a total of around 30 times what the company had offered.
Honestly, I don't think it's possible to give just compensation. On the other hand, we have to set some sort of dollar amount and proceed from there.
In her case, Simpson's offer of $18,000 was upped to close to $700,000. Another landowner offered $16,000, awarded close to $500,000. Another offered $33,000, received close to $1 million.
My immediate goal is to receive fair compensation for the damage that's going to be done to my ranch.
Compensation judgments against the pipeline company comes as a campaign is launched opposing the pipeline. It's backed by high-profile names in Hollywood. Owen Wilson, Tommy Lee Jones, Wes Anderson. In an open letter published in the Dallas Morning News, close to 100 people, from celebrity to common citizen, appeal to Energy Transfer to reroute the project to largely uncontested land. This appeal's happening as the state considers tightening eminent domain law to benefit landowners.
And if their land is going to be taken by a private company, they want to make sure that they are fairly compensated for that.
That's Austin attorney Bill Christian. In 2011, he won a rare victory for a landowner opposing another pipeline. But in an example of Energy's power in Texas, the company was still allowed to build while its appeals went through the courts. That case will be heard by the state Supreme Court this fall. As for this case, well, he says the pipeline will be built.
In terms of the ultimate result of having a pipeline running across their land, that's still going to happen.
And as for compensation, he says the company has pockets deep enough to pay for legal action against resistant landowners.
In the grand scheme of what this project's going to cost, it's still kind of a drop in the bucket.
Back at Barreno Ranch, rain is falling and hailstones dance on a metal shed. Light and sky paint a moving mosaic. The water's welcome in a land where drought ruins lives. Jeannie Simpson says she often thinks of the generations of family who've lived here.
I owe their memory some courage.
In a statement, Energy Transfer said it will appeal the monetary judgments against it. The landowner's lawyer says all six cases are likely to go to jury trial and that the landowners are ready. Meantime, Mexico's waiting for the natural gas to start flowing south. I'm Lauren Madelon in Marfa, Texas.
The U.S. State Department is expecting a 33% increase in passport renewals over the next year. That means it could take longer to get a passport. About 6 years after 9/11, passports were required for the first time to enter Mexico and Canada. And passports have a life of about 10 years before they need to be renewed. This makes the number of renewals anticipated this year a near tidal wave. The State Department says it's prepared with staffing, but delays can still be expected. We sat down with Brenda Sprague, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Passport Services at the State Department, to learn more.
If you recall, 10 years ago in 2007, when the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative air requirements were rolled out, the Department of State experienced a 50% increase in demand, and we were not able to meet that. And we got into a situation where people were waiting 12 weeks for passports, and it was a mess. And it's 10 years now, and so all those passports are due to expire and are going to be up for renewal. So we have been working for the last 10 years to be ready for this, and it's upon us, and we want to get out and talk to the American people, especially here on the border, because we know how important those documents are, and to encourage them to apply early and to anticipate that it may take a little bit longer.
So you say about 10 years ago, the big wait was around 12 weeks. What do people normally wait for? How long do they normally wait to get a passport?
We have a program for expedited issuance where we promise you that we will get it to you within 2 weeks. But the average processing time, we tell you 6 weeks.
As far as numbers, how many passports are we seeing issued or are expected to be issued over the next few months compared to last year?
In 2015, we issued 14.6 million passports. This year, we're on track to issue 17 million passports. And next year, we're anticipating 21 million passports. So the growth in the American people having passports, approximately 40% now have them, has been astonishing.
That 21 million by, I guess, 2017, that's a pretty staggering number compared to what the department normally issues now.
It is a big one, and that's why we're getting out and warning people that they need to plan ahead. We anticipate that by next January and February, we are going to be up to our necks. We were very, very busy this year. We were able to handle it with overtime. Next year, we've got an even bigger mountain to climb.
So what was required in the past for people to be able to travel to Mexico and Canada? I mean, I remember back in the 50s, my grandpa would tell me that he would be able just to go across the border to Nuevo Laredo with his birth certificate. But, you know, that's definitely not the case anymore.
No, following 9/11, we tightened the border requirements, particularly in the Western Hemisphere. And before that, to go to Canada, Mexico, and certain countries of the Caribbean, you could do it with a birth certificate and a driver's license. And after 9/11 in 2007, the law was actually passed in 2005. But by 2007, we rolled it out, first for air travel in 2007, and then for land border in 2008. And now it requires a document that proves your citizenship and identity. For most people, that is a U.S. passport, book, or card.
Is there anything specific that people should be aware of in terms of passport or visa restrictions when trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border?
If you are traveling to Mexico on just tourism or for short visits to a family member, there is no visa requirement. There is always a visa requirement for citizens of Mexico to come to the United States. Many Mexican citizens have what's known as a border crossing card, which is a visa that they use all the time. The other Mexicans can actually have a visa stamped in their books. But to go to Mexico for study or for business, long term, you require a visa as well.
So why is there a difference? Why do American citizens not need a visa to go through, but the opposite is true for Mexican citizens to come to the U.S.?
I think it's the national interests of each country. Obviously, there is nothing that is more important to a sovereign nation than controlling its borders. And Mexico has made certain decisions on what their requirements are, and the United States has made requirements on our side. And it has to do with the demographics, the economies. It is just peculiar to the national identity.
All right, we've been talking with Brenda Sprague, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Passport Services at the U.S. State Department. Brenda, thank you.
You're welcome.
Coming up on Fronteras, honoring World Refugee Day with the success of an Iraqi refugee who now helps other immigrants market their skills for American jobs.
They used to work in something, but they don't really know the U.S. terminologies, like between tailor and seamstress.
We'll explore that story and see how a border school is helping children of immigrants earn college credits before getting a high school diploma after this.